Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to episode 149. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, Sean and Nate? That's a really solid answer.
He is not.
Wow.
He is not working very well in the upstairs.
Tap it.
I was thinking, hello, creepies, my old friends, or, you know, I've come to creep with you again. That's the song that was on my brain.
I'm going to move on to Nate. Nate, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. See, yeah. That wasn't that hard, was it? It was just a simple.
I thought it was pretty easy.
High level math.
Trigonometry.
Shabalaba ding dong.
I guess.
Turn into Jim Carrey.
Yeah, we're here. We are recording.
We are. That's right. We're present.
Wednesday night. We are present.
Now, I have to say, for the record, this is the second time Todd has had to, let's say, endure me. And I asked him, I'm like, are you sure? Well, we'll talk about this here in a little bit, but are you sure that you want to do this meeting together in the morning and the evening? And you said, maybe I should rethink this.
It was a little rough, Nate. A little rough.
Yeah, you haven't made it through yet.
Little Sean goes a long way.
Little Sean goes a long way.
He's a lot.
That's a great way to put it. No, I did start the day off with Jonathan, and then I'm ending
it with Sean. I was not there.
Just Sean. Not a Sean.
Oh, is that what?
Not a fun.
Both of our names together. Jonathan.
I just thought you called him Jonathan.
Jonathan Hedges is all of us.
So you have to be together to be Jonathan. Oh, okay.
I don't know. They call me Jonathan at work, so I'm not sure what they know.
Hmm.
They know something we don't know.
Hmm.
Nate's always with me, apparently.
I'm a big influence.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Well, I take that back.
I'm going to read between the lines in some of that. You're big jumping.
Let's see. It's been cold. This past week and a half, whatever. It's been really cold, actually. But we're getting through it. I guess it's going to warm up a little bit next week. Like 46 for the high next
Tuesday.
Heat wave,
yeah.
Oof. Shorts.
We're having a heat
wave. But there's a lot of states. Even our buddies at the Evil Never Dies, they're freezing their butts off.
They're getting chilly, yeah.
Tim and Brett and Carl talking about how cold it is and posting. Yeah, so it is what it is. It's that time of year, right? Now, I will say, though, J.B. Kane, our friend, she was like, it's 71 here, you got to love Florida. I said,
Florida.
You know what, we're going to remove you from the group, and we are not going to have you on the show ever again. I don't blame her. I'd brag, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 71, man, that sounds nice. 21.
J.B. did move us back off of 666. We have been sitting at 666, 666 times. For quite a while, and an unnerving amount of time, honestly.
We're so good. We've had two people join twice.
I know. That's why I was like, I think this is a game we're going to keep playing.
Our good friend Gazoo, and then JB.
We're not going to get over that 700 mark. I'm okay with it.
We're not going to get past the 667 mark, I don't think.
Apparently. Well, we're doing something right. They miss us.
Yeah.
They can't quit us.
So that's a whole other topic. She's joined twice and Gazoo has joined twice. But hey, we'll take one.
No, I think Gazoo has joined 62 times. But
62 times.
At least.
Or 66.
I love him for it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. What else is going on in our world? Anything?
I got the week off. I'm in between jobs.
Yeah, you've got a couple more days to go. And then
I had a valet service and come get my car and work on it, and because they offered it, and so I thought, heck yeah, I'm not gonna have to sit at the dealership. Sure, I mean, they had it for a good 5 or 6 hours or so, and the guy came, he's a super nice guy, and I asked him, I'm like, do you tip? Like, I hate to sound stupid, but is this, you know, would you accept a tip? And he goes, you can try, but I'm just doing this for retirement, I don't need any extra money. He's like, but I appreciate the offer. And he said, what are you doing anyway? He's like, you could have sat in the dealership for all these hours, you know? And he's like, no, I don't blame you for doing the valet. But he's like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I've got the week off. I'm in between jobs. And he goes, well, you're trying to give me a tip. You need the money more than I do. And it's like, not that kind of in-between jobs. Like, I quit a job, taking some time off and starting another one. And he's like, but I thought that was hilarious. He's like, you need the money more than I do. Keep your money.
Young whippersnapper.
Well, when you say in-between jobs, it sounds like you're hard up, but it's like, yeah, no, I'm good.
That's funny. Yeah. So you've got that. So your new venture's coming up.
That's right.
Nate, and just everything's going all right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. No stories or anything?
No, I just want to
good or bad.
Beat your head into a wall every once in a while.
All right. All right. Well, sounds like everything's normal with you. Yeah, same with me. Basketball, now Elijah's in soccer, indoor soccer, so mm-hmm. We got that now. Both at the same time, but no, it's good. Good. I'm just ready for June. June, yeah. July. You know.
Ready for the weather shift, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm not a winter person. I've lived here all my life. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the winter. So even as a kid, I tolerated it better because it was fun to play. But about that time when I started driving, I was like, yeah, this is not good. You know, you can't do anything outside, man.
So you don't want to marry it?
No.
No.
So I am envious of our warm weather friends like Christina Collier. I think she said it was
58, which is cold for her.
Yeah, but I'm like, 58? That'd be nice. When it was 8.
I will tell you. Exactly right.
Because mm-hmm. I posted on Facebook, I'm like, what's everybody's current temperature? And I'd say 95% was
cold.
Cold.
It was. We got as low as what negative. The wind chill was like negative 22 or something like that. I mean, it was cold.
And I'll tell you right now, Sunday night was bad.
Yeah.
Saturday night. I would get done with one of my office cleanings, and I'd have to walk from the building to the dumpster, which is 30 yards, but you thought it was 300 yards.
It was painful.
But it was windy, and it was blowing against me. I'm like, yep. I'm not going to make it. This is where it ends.
Even I know it's cold when Jude didn't want to go out. He's like, no. He'll like pull against the leash, and he does not ever do that.
Yeah. So
he's like, no, Daddy, no.
It's part of it. It's the time of year, but I don't really like it. But anyway.
Each day we're getting closer to spring, right?
I know. And I was looking. I was sitting on the couch. It was like 6:15, 6:20, and I was working on our show flow notes, and I looked out, and it was still a little bit light out. I'm like, man, because we're getting, you know, obviously daylight. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah,
light is
coming. It's definitely, yeah.
It's
so
coming,
that helps.
Baby.
That helps.
It really does.
Well, anyway, I'm glad. So good. We're all three having a good week so far. Mm-hmm. Hope the creepies, whenever they are listening to this, I hope they are having a good week.
Yeah.
Let's get right to the main part of the show, to be honest with you. Missed it last week.
First part of the announcements?
You're
trying to skip over it. Dang it.
You know, that's not what I was thinking about.
You caught me.
It's the dad joke of the show.
I missed it.
I missed it last week.
Like all in it. No, I missed it.
All right. So this is inspired by my boss at my day job. He had a colonoscopy today, his first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's these two guys. One of them's the patient, and this guy's at his bedside. And the guy goes, he says, the good news is I did a close inspection of your colon, and it looks perfect. The guy goes, what's the bad news? He goes, I'm not a doctor.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny and rough.
I don't get it.
See, Nate,
you don't want
the guy
it.
So that,
well,
was,
that sounds like a normal Tuesday to me.
Which end? Which are you giving it or getting it? Colonoscopy. Sorry, it's a family friendly show.
And I couldn't tell there.
I had mine 2 years ago, and the prep was awful, awful, awful. Have you ever had one?
No.
Night of the Thousand Waterfalls.
Hey. Oh, that sounds so romantic, doesn't it?
Bad.
I am so supposed
bad.
To next year, but no,
so
I have
bad.
Not.
My wife is 45, and she has she's scheduling hers.
Yep.
She's like, I thought I had to be 50. I'm like, hey, I don't know. I didn't make the rules up.
Jenna has
50.
A history of cancer, so had her do it early. She's had hers. But
the prep was
wildly,
really bad.
Wildly entertaining.
But then once you get through that, and you're laying on your side, and they're talking to you, and they're getting ready to go. And the
playing
guy,
the Indiana Jones theme.
Yeah, yep. That's right. And I said, at least buy me dinner first. You know what I'm saying?
You know, woo, you have to run away from a boulder.
Cold hands. Yeah. Oh.
Hey. So
I made all those jokes with Jenna.
The doctor is talking to me, and he's like, so what are you going to do when you get home after this? What are you going to eat? And I said, I love chicken. I said, probably give me a good chicken
meat
sandwich.
Balls,
and let me finish my story.
Dang it. Did I steal your joke?
No. Sorry. Let me just finish the story. So I'm like, I'll probably get me a chicken sandwich. And I said, I love sweet tea. I'll probably get me a big sweet tea. And he goes, I brew my own sweet tea down in my basement. I'm like, that's awesome. I said, yeah. And that was the last I knew. And so the next thing I know is he's like, hey, everything went up great. It's all you're good to go. I'm like, I was just telling you about, like, boom, man.
You lost time,
was,
man.
I did. It was glorious. Mm-hmm. It was great, yeah. Like, 15 minutes is all it takes. I mean, it's, yeah. But I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to have sweet tea and a chicken steak. And that's it. That the next thing I know.
Night-night, Toddy, right?
He goes, your wife's coming in. Yeah. You can leave here in, you know, half hour or so. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I made fun of Jenna enough that she told me, your time's coming, bud.
Yeah.
Like, just, you just wait.
Yeah, they used to be 40 years ago. And now they've made it 50, unless you do have a history. Mm-hmm. But Amy's not happy because she's in the middle. She's 45. She's like, I should have another 5 years to go. I said, hey, again, I'm not your doctor. I didn't tell you to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they recommended earlier because they told me 45.
Well,
too,
see, they're getting later.
Yep.
Or, I mean,
earlier, yeah.
No, I'm saying they're doing. I was told by my doctor, mm-hmm. used to be 40. Now they're saying 50, unless you know, that's when I got was 50. Yeah. But her doctor is telling her 45.
Yeah.
So who knows? If you're 45 out there and you have one, just be ready.
I want to listen to your guy in the joke. looks good. I don't think you need one for another 5 years. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm also not a doctor.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the dad joke of the show, inspired by my boss. I won't use his name, but he had his done today.
Not a doctor, but I'll take a look.
But I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
I play one on TV.
Who just got reinstated?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. This guy. Well, now, Sean.
Yes.
Moving on from the main part of the show, which was the dad joke, you can do the first announcement.
It's all downhill from
here. It's all downhill from here.
This is the first part of the announcements, and we say this every time. We're here for the fun. We're here for the paranormal. We're here for the creepy. But we most importantly want to make sure that we're building this mental health community and making sure that you guys get help out there because we all need it. So you can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, neat, huh? Wink, wink, and nod, nod, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Have you had guys, not just guys, but have you had people lately talk about anything regarding mental health awareness or anything that, mm-hmm. do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm starting to notice that more and more.
Yeah. It's rough on everybody. I really have. I've seen more and more people in tears, more and more people needing hugs, more and more people needing an ear, professionally and personally, honestly.
Yeah. What about you, Nate? Anybody, casual conversation or directly come up to you? Just.
There's been a few recent conversations of wondering if said person is doing okay. Mm. So,
yeah, I've just noticed it. I don't know, like not just in.
And we just let said person know that we care about them.
Good. Yeah, that's all they need to hear.
Yeah,
if they just know one person. You know, cares and they
just
matter.
Just want to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, that they matter. Yeah.
And they appreciated it.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, usually they do. Yeah, it's just people are still, it's getting better, a lot better, but still people are having that attitude of they're just wanting to be guarded or embarrassed or it's something that they don't want to be open about.
I think it's the.
I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. But
I think it's the whole, I don't know how really to word this. Accusing someone, like you don't want to falsely accuse someone.
No,
like they might just be having a bad day.
Yeah, not that.
And then you're like, hey, you know,
a dark time.
Yeah,
in your
life.
You're not suicidal or anything. Right,
you know? right.
What are you saying? You know?
Yeah,
I guess. So that might be the fear of asking. Is
you're gonna make
you don't want to. Well, not necessarily you're going to make it worse, but just agitate that person. You know.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying. I was more thinking of, like, people aren't, there's still that holdback of, like, they don't want to put themselves out there. They want to make sure, they want people to think that they're doing okay or because it's going to show weakness or they don't want to, they're going to bother people if they mention that they're struggling or whatever. Yeah. I'm still seeing it. But on the other hand, I'm seeing more people are
people
more
coming
open.
Out.
Yeah, more help. Confident in coming and saying, you know what, mm-hmm. I'm struggling. I'm mm-hmm. really, yeah.
So you're looking at it from one viewpoint, and I'm looking at it from the opposite spectrum.
Yeah. But that's actually approaching someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. Yeah. That's actually. I'm glad you brought that up. That is hard too because you're like, do I?
Well, you don't
want to
insult them. You don't want to. You know.
Oh, what am I crazy? What do you mean? Am I acting? Whatever. No. Just checking on you, making sure you're all right. Yeah, it does go both ways. But yeah, no, I've just noticed a couple, in the last couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, people have, talking, that they're more open, or just about the mental health awareness. Yeah. So
the funny thing is,
and this winter doesn't help.
few people at the job get a little tense. Mm. Things get a little hairy from time to time with verbiage.
Mm.
So, Pat, since the first of the year, my go-to song is Third Eye Blind.
Oh, yeah.
Step back from that ledge, my friend.
Love that song.
I just go around and sing that.
Good cut ties of all the lies that you've been living.
That also makes me think of Jim Carrey. Remember when he played? He's like,
yeah, I love that song.
You get out there and talk.
Come on.
Literally talk that guy down from the ledge.
Step back from the ledge.
Love that song.
It's not that deep.
I love the drums.
Let's move on.
Yeah. I've got the CD.
Yeah, I got it too.
Great song. We want people to do what they need to do and don't be afraid to ask for help or just ask somebody to listen to you. And then, like Nate said, don't be afraid if better to be wrong,
Yeah.
It is hard actually to approach people.
A friend of mine that I've been doing, she's training to be a life coach. She's a doctor.
Oh, nice.
She's been using me. I call it guinea pig, but she's been,
Is this something she wants to switch to or just add it to her?
Add to the repertoire.
Yeah, nice.
She's really cool. She's been doing more functional medicine.
I was hoping she was training to be an assassin.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, if the life coach doesn't work out, I'm gonna be an assassin.
She's pretty fantastic, honestly. Yeah. I'll do an early show. Oh, you all right? Hey, beat yourself over there. Don't you beat yourself up about it.
Hey, creepies. I just nailed my ear on the microphone.
She is a doctor I used to work with, and like I said, we're still friends. And then she's pretty awesome, though. It's funny, and I will go ahead and use her name because I think she'd be fine with it. But her name is Anupama, and she said, the way you can remember that, back in the day, I remember her telling us, like, just think of it as Arnold Palmer, but it's Anupama.
Anupama,
yeah.
Not Anna Palmer.
No.
Anupama.
Anupama, yes.
All right. Like Rosanna Dan.
Right.
Anupama.
Is it anything we're close to Guglielma?
It is not Guglielma. It's not anywhere near Guglielma. You guys came out with that way back in the day.
Wow, Nate. No,
but
good reference. Flashback.
She had told me, and we were talking about like demons, and I used the term demon. Like, sometimes I just have those demons that, kind of just wear on your psyche, kind of thing. That's what we were talking about. And she said, she goes, let's think about it a different way. She said, we all come from somewhere, and we all come from different backgrounds, and, we all have different religious upbringings, beliefs, and things like that. And people in her head, she said, for her, it was her mother. And she said, like that. And she said, I call it my inner critic. And she said it's one of the, or we were talking about imposter syndromes too, where you just, something inside of you says, you can't, don't even try. And she was like, she told me, she said, why don't you try to befriend your inner critic? Because she said it takes so much energy to fight that part of you that you feel is always constantly nagging you and whatever. And she said, normally has a voice. It might be even your own voice. And she said, when it's talking to you or kind of talking, like trying to like put you down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she said, I sit down with mine. I've named it. I kind of give it a funny name so that I can kind of be more personal with it. And I was like, I've never thought of it that way. I've always thought of it as this bad thing and negative thing and whatever. And she said, a lot of times it's easier just kind of like embrace it and move through it. And so that's something I'm trying. But the other thing we were talking about is she recommended a book. It's 10 times is better than 2 times. And I started reading that today, and it talks about trying to just shoot for the stars, just set your goal. Like we've talked about setting those goals so high. What's the worst thing happens? You crash and burn to start over, do something different, but
crash,
like
burn, die. And
you're not
exactly.
I'm being silly, but they use Michelangelo as an example. He started on his Hercules statue when he was 17, planning for it. He didn't finish until he was 19. And he lied to his father and said, somebody's already paying me money for this. I've already got, somebody else already paid for the marble, whatever. It was a total lie. He basically was just like, I either have to make this work or I'm going to have to do what my father wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And so, but he wanted to be the world's best sculptor, which he still is to this day, honestly. And, but he like dug up bodies and, you know, was a grave digger to be able to put, to find like specimens so that he could understand how anatomy worked and how to really get it down to the exact movements and how to make it look right. And he pulled it off, but they said, you know, he shot for the moon. And if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't know who Michelangelo was as an artist, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking 1400s.
I know him as a Ninja Turtle.
Exactly. So, but I just thought that was cool. But it made me think of this podcast and like how, you know, think about if we had not a shot for the moon, we'd still be wondering, you know, like, or just like, eh, we knew it wouldn't work out. There we go. You know, we made a couple episodes and we're done.
I like to say that we shot for the streetlight.
Shot it out, right? but yeah, so.
I like that.
Right?
I'm going to name my inner critic.
You know, I'll tell you what I name mine.
Mine's Guglielma.
Guglielma. It's not Goose. Mac. I was thinking Mac or Gus. It just sounds like a trucker, you know, like
Mac Daddy.
trying to you know, boss you around. Like, hey, man. And he has a little bit of a New York accent. Just Mac. Yeah. Mm. I thought that would make it a little bit funny.
About mine.
I name mine Todd. No,
my inner critic. I know my outer critic's named Amy.
You're like, Amy, yeah. Again. Step away from the comment.
Just kidding, honey. I love you.
Tell her skip this episode.
Just a joke.
But she said sometimes.
Just a joke.
You know, we always personalize it as something dark and evil and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. And I do think there's things that are trying to get at us and from an evil perspective. But I thought that was, I was like, yeah, I can totally see that. Our own worst critic.
I named mine Shut Up.
Shut Up and Dance.
Man, you know, actually, it's kind of like, yeah, just owning it. It's just owning, and trying to get a jump start on it where it doesn't control you. So you feel like, yeah, I don't know about, well, I get the befriending part. I get it. It's kind of the same. I don't know. But you know
what?
Well,
she asked me, like,
none of our inner critics can do the podcast, though.
Like, none of them. Nope.
No, I'm telling you that.
Sorry,
right.
Mac.
Mine's
Move
doing
over.
It right now.
Huh?
Yours. What's the matter for you, huh?
I don't want to talk about that.
Stop it.
You be quiet.
Let's shoot for the stars, boys.
Like, Nate, are you okay?
Shut up.
Oh, man, we're getting... we haven't even talked about the topic yet.
What? Oh, we have a topic?
We
thought this was another freestyle.
No, but anyway, yes. Make sure our creepies are taking care of themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mental health awareness. We are here for you. So, shout-outs, special announcements. So, Nate, any shout-outs? Mm-hmm. For you, sir.
No.
Alrighty.
Man, that was good.
I thought for a second there.
Nothing popped in my head.
All right. Sean.
I think you and I collected.
Well, I was going to say.
Okay, do you
just,
want.
It's, yeah, just go ahead. And,
Black House Cafe, who we went to visit.
No, that's
to,
not what I was going to talk
that's
about.
Not, yeah, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mari and Roman were delightful to us there. And
yes, they were.
It's a horror-based cafe and coffee shop, mm-hmm. and it is down in Fountain Square in Indianapolis, the
downtown
south,
Indy,
southeast.
Yeah, the old south side,
old south side. We talked about that. Sign. And they are going to the bed and breakfast will is their inaugural weekend, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Their opening weekend this weekend, and that they're going to have horror themed rooms. Actually, Jenna's excited about that. She's like, "We need to go stay in one of those." I'm like, "Darn right, we do." So she's the one that actually pointed out to me a few months ago and said, hey, you guys should look into this place. So when I told her we were going to that, she's like, oh, isn't that place that I saw a couple months ago? I said, darn right it is.
Yeah, I could not remember how we came across it. And I do remember Jenna sending it to you and you sent it to us. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, I'll look into it. Yeah. And that was like September, October. And then
it was written in the stars.
Mari and I started talking back and forth on Instagram. And then, we finally made it there. So, it was nice. Of course, Nate didn't want to. He doesn't like him already. Kind of like,
started another turf
well,
war.
You know, I mean,
he didn't really,
somebody's got to work. And you guys always schedule everything.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here.
Run. Run. Nate's not looking.
We are hoping to do this. Will kind of,
I don't really care for him.
Yeah. You don't care for him.
Oh,
that's a joke.
They, he didn't mean it.
Mari and Roman. We are hoping maybe to do something in March, is what Mari mm-hmm. said, that maybe kind of get their grand opening. Let's mention that is, oh, no, wait a minute. Is this episode going to drop next week, right?
It'll be, it'll have already happened.
Well,
that's okay.
That's right. I was trying, no big I was deal. Still thinking we were
Ain't
one
no
behind.
Thing.
But yeah, this.
Well, they had a fantastic grand opening.
They did, didn't they? That's what I heard.
It was packed. It was packed from noon to three. But anyway, I was going to say, oh, yeah, in March, we're hoping maybe do a meet and greet. Mm-hmm. So they've got this side room, Nate. They opened up a wall, made this extra room. They have like four square tables and, I don't know, two or three chairs mm-hmm. around. Anyway, that would be our room. We could set up our
table. She wants to get some local artists.
And yeah, they're going to get local in artists. Room. Put them in, yeah, they've got a great wall space. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's decorated. They've got tons. She must be a really big Freddy Krueger fan. But
I saw the telephone with the tongue coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, but yeah, there's Chucky dolls, and they have
Gremlins. There's a Gremlin bathroom.
The bathroom. Oh my god! She goes. Yeah, she awesome. Goes. Go check out the bathroom. I open the door slowly. Your, like, what am I going to see? And it was pretty.
Do
cute.
You tell all your guests that?
Yeah.
Quick, lock them in there.
Then I thought, all right, maybe this is a dungeon. Maybe we're gonna. It's like a false floor, and we're gonna drop in it.
Go to Freddy.
It was very cool, and I got a hot chocolate. I'm not. What'd you get, Sean?
I got a tea, Earl Grey tea, and then with some honey in it, and then I got a smoothie. It was
oh, you did?
The Boomstick.
Boomstick. Oh, yeah. What's the guy's name? I'm drunk.
Ash's Boomstick. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a hot chocolate and whatever Roman put in it, like some type of nice cream. Oh my gosh, it was good. It was really good.
I picked up
and on a cold day,
shirt,
it was really
a shirt
good.
And a tumbler, which I got the tumbler right here.
Yeah. A little horror.
Black House.
Got
good
the, got the
awesome.
Mothman. Not Mothman.
Silence
That's
of the
not
Lambs.
Mothman. That's Silence of the Lambs.
Or Silence of the Lambs. Oh, I'm so sorry. Gosh. Silence of the Lambs and a skull in there.
Yeah. But they have on the backside, they have all the different.
It does make me think a little bit of Mothman, though.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Not really.
But, you're like, no.
But they have Jason and Leatherface, and I think Michael's on there. But they have the main
oh.
horror characters. Freddy. Yeah. Very cool
Pennywise.
Place. So we're hoping, yeah. I hope we can do that in March. They said maybe the best time would be like in the evening time. During the week, and usually they're closed by 3:30. But she said that possibly they could just have it open extra hours for us, and then so then they could have customers come in, and they you know they promote and all that. So I actually like that idea better.
Mm-hmm.
Evening time, and hopefully it'll be a little warmer mm-hmm. where they have because they do rely on a lot of walking traffic. You mm-hmm. know, being downtown,
which they and a lot of people do down there.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So a special shout out to Mari. Oh, that's how you have to say it, Mari. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Roman, they were great and great drinks. And go in, check them out.
That's right.
So they're open from 7:30 to 3:30. I believe it's Monday through Saturday, but at one time I saw Tuesday was closed, but I'm not sure if that was if it's always Tuesday or that just for some reason they were closed. But mm-hmm. anyway, go check them out. Give them. You know, they had muffins too. They had little croissants, little muffins. You know, they had a big blueberry muffin that was staring me right in the face. I was like, I didn't pull the trigger.
I thought it was a blueberry muffin, but you know,
blueberry. They even had a cereal box with Pennywise on it. It was pretty cool. I mean, they got all kinds of.
Nate, you would have loved the play. I'm telling you, you would have loved.
Yeah, it looked
ghosts
cool.
hanging everywhere, just bats in that mm-hmm. old
bats
side room
in the belfry.
Yeah, a little drummy batty, but the belfry.
Right. Skeletons hanging around. It looked like our headquarters, let's be honest.
Yeah, so that was great to meet them finally. That's it. Oh, special announcements. You want to start hitting it strong here?
Heck yeah.
Saturday, September 21st at our friends, again, Scott and Corey Steenburgen, who own Greenwood Happy Haunts. We will be doing a live event, and more information will be coming as far as the exact time, tickets, and all of that, but... we'll be there, and our special guest friend, Mr. Austin Lawrence, paranormal mm-hmm. investigator and author. He's going to be with us, so it is going to be a great time. So
shout out to Austin.
By February, so in a couple of weeks, we'll have everything nailed down, exactly the time, and then ticket prices and all that, and how you can buy tickets. But we're excited.
I am enjoying his new book,
as much as
by
I
the
want
way.
The warm weather, and I want my spring and summer, fall is always welcome, too. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
Yeah,
I am enjoying his new book, Hell's Carnival, by the way.
How is that, by the way? Because we talked on the last episode about that whole...
Fantastic. It was worth all the debacle it caused.
Yeah, all the chaos.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Cool. That's good.
I think he's still snickering out there.
Oh, yeah.
He better be.
He told me we got it.
I love his apology, but it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he said it worked better than I thought.
Exactly. I love it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Mr. Sean,
yes.
If you would do the honor and tell the creepies what we're going to talk about.
We are going to discuss a very haunted area of the United States, and it is haunted Everglades down
haunted
in Florida.
Everglades. Now, would you think that the Everglades would be haunted?
Yeah. Have you ever been down there?
No, I haven't.
The whole state of Florida? No.
Well, I mean, yeah, I've
just
been to Florida
JB,
a thousand times.
And everybody else down there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no. You got Florida, man.
on it, you think sun, beaches, nice people, bad drivers, the whole, you know, that's basically.
Lots of sunburns.
I remember the first time I watched somebody get pulled over. I don't even know how old I was, but I watched like six different cop cars, like, you know, like pull somebody over. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this how they do it in Florida? Like, they are not messing around with pulling people over. I'm sure there was more to the story than speeding, but
yeah,
you never know.
I just never thought about the Everglades being haunted. You know, you got the gators and swampy and snakes and all that, but
all swamps are haunted.
They gotta be.
Are they?
We just got that feel, all swamps. Right? You see the pictures I posted?
Creepy.
No.
Bunch of voodoo.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah. Why would? No.
Did you not look at?
No, I didn't. Why would I? You haven't posted it yet.
Did you read the book?
Yeah, I did. I posted it today. The Haunted Everglades. This drops. You know what? This drops tonight.
This drops. Huh?
Did we just figure this out? So you can tell them, like.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were one ahead. We will be after the next episode.
Ignore me.
So
you can't.
I thought, well, okay, maybe.
That just struck me because I'm like, oh, no, this won't drop till next Wednesday. I'm so used to that.
So, people, as you're listening to this,
okay,
the grand opening is this Saturday.
Brain fart.
What is the Saturday's date, by the way?
We both looked at each other like.
20th?
Oh, shoot.
Something like that.
20th.
Yeah.
Yeah. From noon to 3, go to Black House Cafe, Fountain Square. It's right off of West Morris Street and
Be There, Be Square.
Virginia Avenue. Yeah. So anyway,
I'm so sorry I stopped you because
I was like,
I really am used to just like.
I know. We're usually ahead.
Isn't that hilarious?
I didn't think we were yet. And that's why we're doing two fulls tonight.
That's so funny.
Which the creepies don't care about. But anyway, continue. Yes.
Okay. Everglades background. I know we don't need much, but if anybody out there that doesn't know what the Everglades are, the Everglades are a natural region of flooded grasslands in the southern portion of the United States of Florida. Oh, wait, United States of Florida? U.S. state of Florida, excuse me, compromising the southern half of a large drainage basin within the neurotropical realm. You sure I'm going to make two of these? The system begins near Orlando with the Kissimmee River. It's Kissimmee. With discharges into the vast but shallow, this sounds dirty by the way, into the vast but shallow Lake Okeechobee. Water leaving the lake in the wet season forms a slow-moving river, 60 miles wide and over 100 miles long, flowing southward across a limestone. Here we go. That's the point I wanted to make sure and point that out. Limestone shelf, that's what's causing the haunting, shelf to Florida Bay at the southern end of the state. The Everglades experiences a wide range of weather patterns, from frequent flooding in the wet season to drought in the dry season. Throughout the 20th century, Everglades suffered significant loss of habitat and environmental degradation. And apparently haunted. I've always thought of the Everglades as like way, way down there, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about the Everglades being just south of Orlando. But but I guess that's part of it.
Yeah.
More foundation than you wanted.
No, yeah. I was going to say, that was the longest foundation in the history of Mako.
For something that was not necessary.
It's really wet.
It's wet. It's Florida.
Water.
Water.
Grass.
Water. Water.
Gators.
Water. Yeah, gators.
Water.
Pythons.
Yep. Well, I'm going to start off. I've got a story here, a little short story. I got a bunch of short stories. So they talk about October, of course, we know, is a spirited month, in quotes, filled with scary costumes, TV specials, and ghost tours. But not very many people know about creepy stories regarding the Everglades region. So there is a ghost ship of the Everglades. It has been haunting Florida's south coast since the days of pirating marauders. The ship's phantom crew is cursed to sail the seas for all eternity after giving chase to a merchant ship and getting lost in the twisting channels of the Everglades swamplands. The story has been passed down for hundreds of years. And it says, do you know anyone who has seen the ship? I don't. That ship has sailed. No. So anyway, that's just a quick little story to get it started. So there's a lot of stories that are paranormal in nature. In these Everglades. I was very surprised when I chose this. And
it rains, too. It's not just gators, right?
No, yeah. And it did not let me down. It did not disappoint.
I have another story.
Nate's really impressed. Huh.
Let that sink in.
What you got?
The story of Edgar Watson.
Ah, yes. Edgar.
Elementary.
Eddie, we call him. Eddie. E-dub.
No one knew where Edgar Watson came from. But he built a cabin in the Everglades over 100 years ago and largely kept to himself.
Hmm.
One day, a fisherman found a gutted body of a woman floating in the Chatham River. Eventually, authorities found dozens of human bodies buried on Edgar Watson's farm. And a former farmhand reported seeing him take lives ritualistically.
Ooh.
The property is thought to be haunted to this very day.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Way to go, Edgar.
Eddie
like,
Watt.
Seriously, what in the world kind of ritual are you doing, though? Like, you're a homicidal, sadistic killer? I mean, like, psychopathic, crazy person?
It's the Ripper Society.
Right down in the Everglades?
Don't judge.
Don't judge. Yeah, I won't. Trust me. How about the Calusa? The Calusa are an ancient tribe of Native Americans. I know you're shocked. Don't be shocked. That resisted incursion by the Spanish and fatally injured explorer Juan Ponce de Leon in 1521. It is not clear what happened to the Calusa. The Calusa practiced human sacrifice and believed their leaders had supernatural powers. The mass remains of their civilization were found hundreds of years later in the form of human skulls. Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah. There's hundreds a lot of death them. Down here, man.
Yeah. Right. There are. I have a good story here.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from 1945, so when World War II ended. It's called The Lost Patrol. This story starts out, says, it was December of 1945, and the war was over. The weather that day was described as favorable. Flight 19 was set to depart from the Naval Air Station in Fort Lauderdale, including 5 TBM Adventures and 14 crew members. The mission was to be a simple 2-hour patrol before returning back to base. But nearing the end of those 2 hours, the pilot called the Fort Lauderdale Tower not to announce his return, but to say they were lost. When asked his position, he could not answer. The next 30 minutes were a horrifying disarray of disembodied voices of Flight 19 crew members at escalating levels of panic before everything went completely silent. The NAS wasted no time in sending out help. They unleashed a PBM Mariner, which is a flying boat, complete with rescue equipment and 13 crew members to save Flight 19. But the flying boat was never heard from again either.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. So now you've got, you know, you had the original boat, and then now you got the rescue people, and they're both lost. So that's pretty creepy.
That's like Bermuda Triangle kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, right? It is. That's what reminded me of. Yeah, yeah. So pretty creepy if you're going out there to try to help rescue somebody, then you're lost yourself. So, What you guys got?
I have the lost city of Everglades City.
Oh.
There is such a place?
Everglades City.
It's lost, but.
Yep. Says it's more or less a ghost town, ghost village, with only an estimated population of 400.
Mm.
It is said, although no one knows for sure the exact location of the lost city, it is said to be someplace deep inside the Everglades. One thing they do know is that it was once a Seminole village that was abandoned. These days, it's covered by complete vegetation. There are no maps leading to it, and you want to know what else? Rumor has it that it was the lost city that mobster Al Capone supposedly produced moonshine in.
Oh, yes. Our buddy Al shows up again. There isn't a place. I'm telling you right now, he's everywhere. Now he's in the haunted Everglades.
Mm-hmm. I saw a thing.
So that's where he said he was making moonshine?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I saw a thing that said that he loved playing. His favorite thing to do was play the banjo. And, of course, we know he did that
In jail. In
prisons. And But it said that there wasn't a song that he couldn't play on the banjo. I did not know that he was. I knew he was a banjo player, but that was like his true love. Isn't that weird?
I guess so. Yeah.
I didn't know he could play any song.
No, I didn't either. Have you guys been to, have you been to the Everglades?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
I have.
Florida? Oh, yeah. Yep.
I have not. And so I was going to ask you, have you ever been to like a swampy area like the Everglades, if you hadn't been to the actual Everglades? I have not.
I've never been off the beaten path.
I've done a swamp buggy tour.
Oh,
and
there?
I've done an air boat
like
tour.
The fan boat.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
That would be fun.
There was somebody that had a gator that was coming up on one of those airboats down the Everglades. Mm-hmm. I saw a video of it this last week, and it said, awesome. Like, this dad very calmly, that here comes the gator on the ship, on the boat, not the ship, excuse me. And it was, he was with, like, probably his wife or whatever, and they're together, and he just takes the snout, and he just, like, shoves it back
in. Yeah, and the alligator's like,
dude, that was awesome.
Yeah.
There was another one that had a gator, and it was
the gator whisper.
It was showing a guy that trapped a smaller gator, but it was like just running around this neighborhood, and he trapped it in a container, like just a trash bin.
Right.
Did you see that one too?
Mm-hmm.
And he just like scoops it up, and it's like, man, this guy's like taking this gator like he's playing like catching a Pokemon.
I know.
And I was like, it was cool. And then it shows him just dumping it down, like
got to remain calm.
That's all. Yeah, and that's what they do. Yeah.
No, so. I have not. I've always wanted to do something like that.
It would be
visit
fun.
Like the Everglades, and then like in Louisiana they've got all those swampy areas. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be another region.
Yeah,
They've got a lot of gators.
Mississippi.
Yeah,
Mississippi.
I have not though, so I that's why when I came across this, and I've known about the Everglades and all that, but just reading these stories, I'm like, okay, that puts a different spin where you just think about the animal life, the wildlife, mm-hmm. and just the environment being swampy and wet and all that, but. Now hearing all these paranormal stories, I'm like, oh, that adds a whole different element. Now
there's a creepy element to it, for sure.
Like, I would love to take a tour and do, like, the fan boat and all that, but, like, let's go check out the haunted part of it.
I think about this as, like, you know how we always think about the Appalachian, like, off the beaten path. You go too far off, you're going to find,
you start hearing banjos run.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's what the Everglades are kind of down in Florida. Like, whoa, don't go too far off. You'll see creatures. Because there's stories of cryptids. We'll probably talk about that here in just a minute.
Yeah.
Cryptids and, pirate stories and all these. This one's good.
I want to be a pirate.
A lot of missing planes out there, too, because this is close to the Bermuda Triangle, right? But it says, missing planes. Over the years, numerous planes have disappeared in the Everglades over the years, never to be seen again. I think I said that twice. In December 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 was headed to Miami from New York. But due to an electronic failure and pilot error, it crashed into the Everglades. 96 of 163 people on board were killed. Paranormal events were soon experienced on the other Eastern Airlines planes that used parts cannibalized from the wreckage of Flight 401. The odd occurrences were documented in the 1976 book, The Ghost of Flight 401, and the airline eventually replaced all parts salvaged from the doomed flight. In May 1996, a fire broke out on ValueJet Flight 592 shortly after takeoff from Miami. The plane plunged into the alligator-infested water, and very little of it was ever found. All 105 passengers were killed. Some think it to be one of the most baffling airplane mysteries in modern aviation history.
Mm.
You don't think about that, but man, that is not a place you'd want to go down.
Right. No, it's... Yeah, I'd like to check this place out. Put on the list, Sean.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, heck yeah. Fan boat and all, right?
Yeah. We'll take our own fan boat. I mean,
here goes. Come on, Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coral Castle's down here, too, by the way. Remember when we talked about Coral Castle?
Is that in the Everglades?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
We also talked about Carl Tanzler.
Crazy Carl Tanzler.
He's down there in Key West, Everglades area.
This is like a walk down memory lane.
Crazy
or
Carl.
Or a swim up memory lane.
Nate, you were talking about the Lost City. Mm-hmm. And our old buddy Al, maybe it was making moonshine.
Allegedly.
Says it says if you're into the paranormal, you might not. I'm sorry. You might like to know that Lost City is said to be home of the legendary skunk ape, a relative of Bigfoot. I bet a lot of creepies have heard of the skunk ape. A relative of Bigfoot, the skunk ape is a creature who has been spotted, photographed, and encountered, but never been proven. Even though it is the object of many hoaxes, there are still some mighty scary creatures lurking in the Florida Everglades that no one should ever cross. And it says, regardless, the Lost City at this point is overgrown, like you said, with thick vegetation, making it nearly impossible for the average person to enter, even if they were to find it. So when we went to Florida for last summer's vacation, we went to, Fort Myers Beach, which was still ravaged from the hurricane. But they were, they had a few shops open. And we walked in this place, and this guy was super nice. He had a lot of really neat souvenirs. And I don't know how we got on this, but this might surprise you. We start about talking the podcast. I said, I so happen to be a part of a podcast. And he said, he goes, well, you know what the, he had a Bigfoot picture, creature, something, I don't know, not a toy, but anyway, he had something. So anyway, I was like, oh yeah, we do a podcast and we're from Indiana and, you know, da, da, da. And he goes, do you know what the cryptid is that's here in Florida, like Bigfoot? I said, skunk ape. He goes, yeah. He was impressed. I said, hey, I know this stuff. That's what I do. Yep. No, but we started talking about it, and he said that, I said, well, how far is it from here? And he was like, oh, it's about 2-3 hours. It was a good distance, mm-hmm. but from where we were. But anyway, it just reminded me, yeah, because he was like, he was impressed that I knew about the skunk ape. So I said, oh, yeah, that's what we talk about. So, but a lot of people don't know about, you know, and it is a popular cryptid.
That's
it,
right.
It is a very popular, it's not great as popular as Bigfoot.
It's a great name, right?
The skunk mm-hmm. ape. Yeah, they say it kind of smells skunky.
That's, I've heard that's of grape ape.
Yeah, the grape ape. Yeah.
Grape ape.
No, but that was fun, yeah, so.
I don't know if you guys know this, but
maybe not.
The Everglades is a prime spot for dumping bodies.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
You did mention Al Capone.
Some people look at the Everglades as a beautiful area packed with lush wildlife and exotic beauty. Others see it as a great spot to dump bodies. If you're ever lucky enough to visit the Everglades, which I have, keep an eye out for decomposing remains that have a habit of getting tangled in the weeds and the muck. I did not see any decomposing bodies. Authorities and locals have stumbled across numerous bodies that were dumped in a gruesome manner in the Everglades. Bodies that have been shot, stabbed, mutilated, burned to death, and otherwise tortured have all been found floating down the rivers.
Yikes.
And the causes are notoriously difficult to solve. Or the cases, not causes, cases are notoriously difficult to solve. Since 1965, there have been over 175 unsolved homicides in the Everglades.
I'm not surprised at all.
And those are only the bodies that they have actually found.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because they're relying
gators,
on
gators.
Yeah, they're relying on gators to eat them and other wildlife, plus then just the decomposition in that wet environment. So that's a perfect place to do
that. That probably adds to a lot of hauntedness.
Is that a public service announcement? Right.
So if you want to dump a body, go to the Everglades in Florida.
Jeez,
where they won't solve it, probably.
Or they'll have a difficult time, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
That's creepy.
I like this. The land was first named Pahaoki by its original inhabitants. Inhabitants, according to the National Park Service, the name Everglades comes from "quote unquote" forever and the Old English word for a grassy open place. It's the third largest national park in the United States, but it's smaller than it was before Florida became developed. The secrets and the bizarre nature about these swamplands are. A lot of it is gone, but there are so many more. There's so many weird things about this gator-filled waters, more so than just a national park. It says it's, which we kind of touched on this before, it's actually not a swamp, it's a river. And I love this part. I heard them referred to as swamp angels, but the mosquitoes down there says
skeeters.
Although they're obnoxious, mosquitoes are crazy important to the ecosystem of the Everglades. So God bless them. But I know that's one of the things.
Swamp angels. I saw a thing that somebody said it's has plenty of skeeters and no-see-ums.
No-see-ums?
Yeah, you don't see them, but you itch.
No-see-ums.
You don't see them. My in-laws
I walked right into the. I was like,
my in-laws went to some kind of a habitat down there where you could like take a tour of, you know, the swampy areas, whatever. And there were so many mosquitoes. And I remember this was early on when Jen and I were like, had been married for, you know, a little bit, but I think it was before we had kids. And I remember a story about like either everybody else was used to the mosquitoes or they had the proper, you know, spray or whatever, but they were the only ones running around like crazy with all these mosquitoes and like slapping on us.
We're like that up in the UP. We went to Tequamen Falls.
Michigan's awful.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, I got a shirt that says Michigan State Bird and it's a mosquito.
It's a swamp angel.
But no, we sprayed ourselves with like off or whatever.
And
you know?
It's still.
And like they like attracted them. They're like, oh, we don't care about that stuff.
Slurp that out.
And the boys were little. Yeah, our boys were little. Well, Dane was still an infant. So Rachel had him all covered up, and we're smacking each other and smacking mosquitoes.
I remember the story of the Jenna's parents. All I could picture the way they told it was like they were the only ones, and everybody else was just looking at them like they're crazy, but they're like slapping themselves and slapping each other, and, you know, like just some kind of comedy routine almost. But
I used to get eaten alive when I was a kid. Oh, my gosh. Even up into my 30s. I remember one time it was my senior year before I started working full time. I played pickup ball every day, and my gosh, in that summer, I had counted 19 mosquito bites, just on my upper body, and I count my leg. I was like, I mean, I was eaten up, but as a kid, my mom would spray that stuff on, but like as a teenager or a young adult, I didn't think of it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not, you know, because I didn't want to play ball with stuff on, you know. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, I guess I'll just get eaten up because nobody's going to want to play ball with the slathered on me. So, the good old days of youth.
Do you know what hiking in the Everglades is called?
Hiking in the Everglades. I don't
Swimming.
Know.
It's called, right. It's called sloth slogging. And it says it's a kind of very wet hike with rather limited appeal. And they remind you, like, if you're going to do this,
sounds awful.
You'd need somebody that knows the area better than you because you're going to be waist deep in muck, basically. The they call them sloggers, but the slough is a low lying area of land that channels water through the Everglades. And they said, and also to remember that they're infested with gators. So, like,
yeah.
I just think that would be a recipe for
disaster. And I think that's how they find a lot of the anacondas.
Oh, I bet.
they walk through the
that sounds
water and muck and everything until they step on one.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's a fantastic way of finding them.
They're so massive. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, though. I mean, they better make some good money.
Everglades is also the only place that I heard alligators and crocodiles can live, together.
Cohabitat.
Cohabitat.
I've got a little story here.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Have you heard of the ghost boy with the evil red eyes?
I have not.
I've known some kids that I could probably, I would describe like that. But let's move on.
The evil eye?
Yeah. Says, while canoeing with his family in the Everglades, a young man looked into the water and saw a ghostly figure floating below him. It looked like the ghost of a young boy, and his dark red eyes and evil glare scared him. Suddenly, the wind started to pick up, and it caused his cousin to accidentally fall overboard. He knew something bad was going to happen, so he rushed to his cousin's aid to get him out of the water as fast as he could. When they got back to the land, the cousin started complaining about her back hurting. She took off her shirt, and the family was shocked to see her entire back was horribly bruised. Later, the young man went back to that area and tried to find out more about what he saw. He found out that years prior, a young boy drowned trying to win a bet, and now his spirit haunts this area. Perhaps his cousin's bruises were caused by the ghost trying to pull her under and condemn her to the same fate. Scary.
Hmm.
That's really scary. Yeah. So it's the ghost boy with the evil red eyes.
I like that, but I don't want to meet it.
No, you don't want to meet it. No.
Down with red eyes, right?
Yeah, it always creeps me out when, like, we talk about all these haunted places and people, you know, they feel like, you know, we've talked about a thousand times, hit, scratched, bit, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, though, when they don't know it and somebody go, oh, what'd you do to your arm? Or they have a bruise or something and they're like, what? And their back or their neck or arm, but they didn't feel it.
Yeah, yet, that's weird.
Yeah, I know. I think that's kind of creepier. So, anyway, don't go looking for the what did I say? The evil red eye boy. Whatever. Ghost boy.
Another topic that we've touched on before in the past is Robert the Doll.
Robert. Bobby.
I wondered who was going to bring
that
up.
He's from that area, too.
Be very nice. Be.
Bobby the Doll.
Be nice in your talk.
we
love you, Robert.
Another scary thing is people just vanish off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Is this true?
According to this article, it is.
Bermuda Triangle.
Let's see here. Scarier than the people who are found floating face down in the swamp are the people who just vanish without a trace. In 1998, Wendy Haddock snuck out of her bedroom window to go to a party and promptly disappeared forever without any solid evidence or leads. In 2009, 7-year-old Ajay Desir went missing while playing in the front yard of his grandmother's house. Amy Billing was last seen hitchhiking down a stretch of road in 1974 and has never been seen again, leading her mother on an expensive search to find her with tragic results. Those are just a few of the hundreds examples of hundreds of missing people in the Everglades.
What was that one year? You said 1974?
1974.
Wow. I'm taking it back off the list, by the way, just so you know. After that talk.
Oh, no. We're all in. Once it goes on list, you can't take it back.
I know we've already mentioned the cryptid talk, but this talks a little bit more about the skunk ape. But it's also got gator men.
Oh, yeah.
It says, like many a wild place in the United States, the Everglades is supposedly home to cryptids, according to those who believe, anyway. The Oxford English Dictionary defines a cryptid as an animal whose existence is disputed or unsubstantiated, or just not understood. How about that? And the Everglades has two. The first is the skunk ape, a Sasquatch-like creature covered in red hair that is 7 feet tall and stinks. No kidding. Everglades adventure. Very badly, a creature of similar description was long reported by natives in the area. And there have been sightings reported in photographs taken in the modern day. The other Everglade cryptid is the gator man, half gator, half man. Mysterious Universe says that sightings have been reported since the 1700s for gator men. Wow. They're running around all over there. Mm-hmm. Man, I think those are just normal. No offense. That's just Floridians, right?
Oh,
those are fighting words. Sorry. JB's going to not like that.
We really don't have a whole lot of Florida listeners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we can make, we can tease away then.
We'll have like Miami, like one.
I love Florida. But like, hey, where are we going to go on vacation? What do we say? Let's go to Florida. I mean, that's fine.
I've had my fill of Florida. I went three times as a kid. Then we went when the kids were little in 2014. And then when they said, we want to go to Florida, this is last summer. I was like, no, but I got talked into it. So if I don't go back for another 20 years, I'll be fine.
I've not had a bad trip down there, but
no, I haven't. I like Florida.
We talked about going out west, or going out east, or somewhere different. Yeah, and the kids are like, but what about Florida? You know, like they've just gotten Florida and Alabama. Mm-hmm. Definitely, they've gotten accustomed to.
We've never been to Alabama.
Bammer.
I'm gonna tell you right now, though. I've said this a million times. I know you told me a million times not to exaggerate, but
at least
the southern state. And, well, I'll say a southern city that I want to go is Savannah. I fell in love with Savannah. That is the place for me. That's where I want to go. That, and I love South Carolina. I like Myrtle Beach area.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there three times. So I told Amy and I were like, when we retire, we'd like to buy, not to live down there because we've got too many friends and family. But as far as like getting away for like crappy weather or have the house or whatever, we get condo available for people to go down there. But yeah, I'd say George, Savannah area or Myrtle Beach. That's the place. I love those places.
Found a little bit more information on Edgar Watson.
Oh, E-Dub?
Yeah.
Eddie.
Good old E-Dub.
Well, now what's going on with Eddie?
Evidence of Watson's crime surfaced and the town had enough. So they gathered up a posse and confronted Watson. Watson denied everything. Then accounts say he raised his gun and tried to fire it. He had purposely been sold waterlogged bullets by a suspicious townsperson. However, and nothing happened. It caused the posse to open fire on Watson, riddling his body with bullets and killing someone who might have been a mass murderer.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, his outcome didn't really
no.
end well.
No. Eddie. What's the problem? Oh, Eddie. E-Dub. I've got a couple Reddit stories that people have typed in, sent in. It says, I'm kind of winging it, so I'm going to find out what's going on along with the listeners. It says, the thing about visiting the Everglades is, don't approach it as though you're a modern person. It's like stepping back in history into the time of the original tribes. Forget the perspective of our time and try to experience it though you were there 2,000 years ago. It says, this journey, the journey within, is the best story, in my opinion. Good luck. I thought that was an interesting take.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'll remember that. I thought, yeah, I just thought that was a different different input by somebody. Yeah.
I have the weirdest one maybe we've ever talked about, and this is in Naples, a haunted and also gruesome backstory, a Cracker Barrel. Have we ever talked about a haunted Cracker Barrel?
No.
Okay.
I love Cracker Barrel, by the way.
I do, but you're not going to want to go to the one in Naples. Another restaurant with gruesome past. Three people were murdered in the back freezer in November of 1995, and employees swear strange things still happen back there. Says, what's that?
Have you
heard of this before? I'd never heard of it.
It's been on true crime. I know. Go ahead. Yeah.
This says that this guy named Jennings and his accomplice, Charles Jason Graves, now 33, were convicted of three counts of capital first degree murder and one count of robbery in the killings of Dorothy Siddle, 38, of Golden Gate, Vicky Smith, 27, of Copeland, and Jason Wiggins, 21, of East Naples during an early morning holdup at a restaurant on Collier Boulevard. This is from the original Naples News, by the way. Both former Cracker Barrel employees, Jennings and Graves, tied up their three victims and placed them in a freezer. On November 15th, 1995, Jennings, the state proved, then slashed the throats of victims. That makes me sick. While Graves stood at the freezer door with a pellet gun to prevent their escape. They had planned the crime more than a month ahead of time, hoping to snatch up to $15,000 in a simple parking lot robbery.
Jeez, yeah.
And then they said that employees are still have like all kind of weird paranormal issues in that, you know, especially in that back freezer area.
Ugh, I bet.
That's sad though.
It is. It was what, 95?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Not that long ago. Crazy people. I know. You have one, Nate, or I got one. If you're, I just want to cut in on you.
No, you can go ahead.
So here's another Reddit story. It says, strange Everglades stories? ? This person says, I am a Missourian located in St. Louis. I have traveled the country on and off again for the past 5 years. I have proudly visited almost every national park west of the Mississippi, and I'm on my way to completing the eastern portion of the United States. I had always favored Yellowstone. Anytime I visit, I can immediately feel an immense amount of energy radiating through the park. That is until recently. I visited the Everglades for the first time in April, and I've already been back a second time. There is something very peculiar about the Everglades. I don't know if it's the seclusion, wildlife, or folklore, but I feel it drawing me back. If you've ever visited or are lucky enough to call them your home, then you know what I'm talking about. Paranormal or not, they have a very strange and alluring appeal. While I'm sitting here on my drive home from my second visit, I can't help but think to myself that someone out there has an interesting, bizarre, creepy experience that they would be willing to share. He says, my visits so far have been brief, but I intend to go back for a long camping trip. I'd like to know a little bit more of what I'm getting myself into before committing to an overnight stay in my tent. Thanks in advance. So when I read that, I was like, we're talking about all these murder stories and dead bodies, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd be camping. You know what I mean? I want to visit the Everglades on a professional tour or, you know what I mean, like a sightseeing, but I don't.
But to camp, it seems like a horrible idea.
Yeah, so as I'm reading this, I'm like, good luck. I hope you stay safe. Yeah. So anyway, but they also, when they mention Yellowstone, that they, you know, they get some type of, energy radiating through the park. So
I think I'd want to steal cage to stay in if I'm gonna camp, you know, like protected.
Yeah, I don't know about the camping thing. I don't, well, and I'm not a camper anyway, so that would never even happen. But I'm just saying, if I was, I don't think I'd be going there.
Yeah, no.
It sounds like it's too easy. If you want to kill somebody and dump their body, that's where you're gonna go. Is the Everglades?
Taddy no like.
Taddy no like.
Taddy no like.
Taddy like. Yeah, like at a hotel. Some of those are creepy.
You can control the temperature.
Yeah, exactly. Air conditioning and heat. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have anything else on the Everglades?
I have a good one.
As I burp in the mic. Sorry.
Creepy. The Caritian State Historic Site. The ghosts of Cyrus Teed and his followers are said to haunt this state park and museum, waiting for their leader to resurrect. In 1869, the Chicago doctor changed his name to Koresh, like David Koresh, right? And developed a new religion in which he was the Messiah. This sounds just like David Koresh. Huh? In 1894, Teed brought his followers here and built a commune, the Koreshian Unity. Teed died in 1908, and his followers waited for him to resurrect. After 3 weeks, the health department forced them to dispose of the body. It was placed in a mausoleum on the beach, but washed out to sea during a hurricane years later. The last Caritian died in 1982, and many say their spirits are still here watching over the land. Witnesses have reported shadow people who disappear on the trails, unexplained voices in the buildings, and floating orbs of light.
Ooh.
That's wild, isn't it?
That is wild.
I've never heard of that.
That is wild, Nate.
Mm-hmm. I believe. Thanks, Johnny.
I've got a couple short stories right here. I'm going to tell the first one. This is called The White Witch of the Everglades. This says, the legend tells the story of a beautiful young woman who lived in the Everglades and was said to be a great witch. She would lure men into her home with the promise of love and then kill them using their own bones to make spells and potions. Now, that is not right.
No.
I think that's false advertising, to be honest with you. You know, what kind of nonsense is the White Witch? So, and then the other one is, it's been called the Devil Swamp. That's always a good name for the Everglades. This legend, these are all just legends, it says, this is a dark and foreboding place located in the heart of the Everglades, and it is said to be the home of a demonic entity known as the Old Crone. This creature is said to lure people into her swamp with the promise of treasures, only to kill them and add their bones to her collection.
Mm.
So a little similar, but a little different. Yeah. So note to self. Don't get lured by, not that I would. I mean, I'm married, happily married, but I'm just saying, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about old crones and swamp devil people. Witches.
always be on the lookout, right?
Right, right.
It is amazing. The list of these haunted places range from Walgreens to, like I said, Cracker Barrel, to several schools, to inns, to hotels. There's one, a Biltmore, not the Biltmore we know, Nate. But the Biltmore Hotel, supposedly the 13th floor, is home to some resident World War II era ghosts. Soldiers who convalesced there during the war when it was used as a hospital. Weird noises are heard throughout, and there are reports of unexplained lights popping in and out of view.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Where is this at?
Biltmore Hotel.
Biltmore Hotel.
It is in Coral Gables, Florida.
This
says 69 miles from Everglades City, Florida.
Isn't Coral Gables the one with the dude that made the
Coral Castle?
Yeah.
That is close, because that's on YouTube.
Okay.
That they have a whole thing. That's in Homestead, Florida.
Okay.
Which is about roughly 60 some odd miles from Everglades City too.
So. Gotcha.
What was it? Oh, Eddie Led Schnelken or whatever, Lead Scalkin.
Huh?
Isn't that the guy that Edward Led Scalkin? Remember, we couldn't say his name very well either. We just called him Eddie. Old Eddie.
Cousin Eddie.
Eddie L.
Yeah. Was that his last name? I don't remember his last name.
Led Scalnan is what this says.
Red Skeleton? Red Skeleton?
Sure.
Ledbetter.
Fun with last names.
Red Ledbetter. Yeah, there's actually a lot of, there's so many stories, and most of them are legends, I think. But again, there's still real deaths and murders.
Did you just throw a Pearl Jam in there? Did you when you said that Ledbetter?
Ledbetter, yeah.
That's what I thought. I was like, I just heard a reference. I like it.
The legend of the ghost of Panther Key says this is a story of a young woman who was killed by her husband on Panther Key, an island in the Everglades. Her ghost is said to haunt the island, and she is said to be seen walking along the shore or appearing in people's homes. That's not good. Go find your own home, lady. Get out of here. That's sad. I shouldn't. But if it's a true haunting.
Are you mocking her?
I'm not mocking.
There's a slight mock.
I'm not mocking. No mock.
No mas.
I just don't want her in my home, you know. Hmm. I'm sorry what happened to you, but you got to get.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to stepping. That's what they say, Nate. That's what they said in 1995 on the Martin Lawrence show. Get the step.
Get the step.
Do you guys have anything else, Nate?
No, not really.
Sean?
I got one more cool place
that
we could end on. It's called the Snake Warrior Island. Locals tell of eerie beams of light that come from the island and shoot toward the sky. Seen as early as 1895, old legends say the Native Americans, of course, in the 1800s wouldn't set foot on the island, and that the African Americans working here saw an apparition in the 1920s. Some say there are strange tales surrounding an old hermit who lived on the island in the 1920s and 1930s. He had a long beard and sold citrus he grew in a grove here.
Oh, wow.
So light beams, baby. So Snake Warrior Island. I just love that name.
That is a nice name. Mm-hmm. I do like that. I like that. Let's end it on that. So I hope the Creepies enjoyed some of those stories on the haunted Everglades.
I hope y'all want to go to the Everglades.
Yeah.
Then, right?
Yeah. I ain't
take a fan
here.
Boat.
Airboat. I'm not staying over the night unless I'm in a, like I said, a hotel. And I'll make sure it's not a haunted hotel.
Yeah. I've put it on the list, taken off the list, put it back on the list.
I want a haunted hotel. I just don't want to be in a tent.
Taken off and put it on the list several times during this episode.
So where are we at now? It's back.
It's on. Okay, it's on. Right.
Coming off of that, what do you got for us? I'm gonna say middle-aged. I'm gonna say a moment.
Okay. So
am I wrong? Oh no, I made my first.
I have to say you. What did I tell you last time?
I don't know.
You are in league with the devil.
That's right.
But not really. I'm saying that in jest. It is a middle-aged moment.
Nice. See.
This is one that I was wanting to do. Somebody sent me a picture of the lyric from this song, and I had told her I'm going to totally use this as my next middle-aged moment or dark side.
Okay.
And it is One Republic, Counting Stars.
I like that
song. You guys
know
that song?
Cool. Yes, I remember that.
So lately, I've been losing sleep. Dreaming about things we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said, I know it's hard not to sing, right? Said, no more counting dollars. We'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. I see this life like a swinging vine. Swing my heart across the line. And in my face is flashing signs. Set it out, or seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold on just doing what we're told. I feel something so right doing the wrong thing. I feel something so wrong doing the right thing. I couldn't lie, couldn't lie, couldn't lie. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive. Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. I feel your love and feel it burn down this river every turn. Hope is our four-letter word. Make that money, watch it burn. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something so wrong doing the right thing. I couldn't lie, couldn't lie. Everything that downs me makes me want to fly. I think she had sent me everything that drowns me. Makes me want to fly, which I thought was it struck me pretty deeply. And then it goes on to say, you know, lately I've been losing sleep. And so it goes on through the same thing over and over. But it is a fantastic song.
I do like it.
I like it. It's very, you know, these days that we're living in, it definitely hits home. So
actually, it was it came out in 2014 because that's when we took the kids when they were 6 and 3, and that song came out, and that reminds me of our vacation traveling back and forth to Florida.
Well, the funny thing, we were talking about superpowers, and I had said something about, like, if I had a superpower, it would be flight, and my second choice was being able to swim, like almost like you know, Atlantis kind of, you know, being mm-hmm. able to go as deep as you can to adventure. And so it's from one extreme to the other. So it was that whole everything that drowns me makes me want to fly. But this says downs me, but I guess maybe that's the actual lyric. But I just love that idea of one extreme to the other. You know, adventures mm-hmm. lie in both, right?
Yeah.
As deep as we can go, as high as we can go.
That's why I agree.
So ask Michelangelo and his Hercules statue, right? And maybe reference the beginning of this episode.
All right. Well, that was good.
Full circle, right?
Full circle. That was good. That was a good middle-aged moment, right, Sean? Good job.
And I really tried to trip you up because I thought, man, he's going to think I'm going to do the dark side.
I'm about 27. We got
one
more.
We got one. I don't think you've gotten one wrong in maybe ever, but I really don't know that for sure. But we got one more tonight, so I'm going to see what I can do.
I know.
I'm not going to give anything away.
Oh. Okay. No hints.
Poker face over here.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. Did he really do the
lady? I did the Lady Gaga.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Can we cut his mic off?
You're not going to do another episode with me tonight.
Maybe. How about the second?
You want Nate to do the second part of the announcement?
That's right.
You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at our address, makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch with now 2 cool designs, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. Mm-hmm. It's another way for you to support us. Get your name mentioned and or your business promoted. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information. If you are enjoying our show, bonk, that wasn't me. If you are enjoying our show, these are ways to help and show us support.
Yes, that's good. That's
hit the gong. Hit the gong one more time.
Wow. Dong. Keep hitting my headphones on the mic.
The gong show.
Sorry about that, but thank you, Sean.
Don't
for
be
that.
Sorry.
That was a good job. Nate, it's your turn, buddy.
I think we drained all the water out of this swamp. So that's a wrap.
We did do that. We drained all the water. I don't disagree. Thank you, Nate, for that. And thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 149 and our discussion on the creepy and swampy haunted Everglades. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.